Job 13, the last few verses, and I believe we'll hopefully get into chapter 14 just a little bit. Job chapter 13, and we're going to begin in verse 20. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, I'll read out loud. You can follow along in your Bibles there. I'll begin in verse 20 of Job chapter 13. Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thy hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet. And he, as a rotten thing, consumeth, as a garment that is moth-eaten. As Job continues to talk to his friends, if you will, he's really focusing in on his God more than his friends, if you will. If you think about it, now he's turned to God and he's asking God questions. He said to his friends, look, I'm kind of done dealing with you, and I'm going to go to God because he's the one that can give me answers. So far, he has not given me any answers, and I don't know what it is between me and him that's causing this. Okay, and now, by the way, is that an unfair assumption on Job's part? Not necessarily, okay? And so, God has chosen to remain silent, and so Job here is working through these things in his mind. He's trying to sort them out. His friends are kind of prodding him to sort them out because they're just saying, hey, Job, you're lying to us. You're a hypocrite. You're a fraud. You must have done something to anger God so that he would do this to you. And so Job is giving these answers, and he asks some requests of God, which we talked about last week. And then I want you to look at verse 22. He says, then call thou, and I will answer. So he says, God, call out to me. Talk to me. And I will answer you. Just speak. You know, let me hear something from you, God. And then he gives God an option. He says, let me speak and answer thou me. He says, okay, God, I'm going to give you the first right here. I'm going to let you speak from heaven and tell me what's going on. Or if you don't want to do that, if you stay quiet, then I'll speak to you and you answer me. Okay? And by the way, again, not an unfair request. Have you ever felt like in your prayer life or in your life just in general that God is not listening? Okay? Or that God is maybe not paying attention to you. Did anybody ever feel that way? And I'm not going to condemn you for those feelings, because I'm sure at some points in time, how many of you have ever made this statement? I feel like when I pray, the prayers go up to the ceiling, they hit the ceiling and fall back to the floor. Right? Anybody ever said that before or felt that way before? Okay, that's what Job is kind of, that's the condition he's in right now. He says, God, look, I need something. I'm kind of floundering here. I've got these people beating up on me. And God, as far as I know, I've maintained my relationship with you. I'm doing well. I'm making the sacrifices, and I'm praying, and I'm confessing my sins, and I'm even confessing the sins of my kids, and this comes upon me, and God, I feel like I'm close to you. I feel like I'm right with you. But this is here, and you're silent. So he goes along, and He decides that enough time has passed, and so he's going to speak. You know, I don't know the time frame of these things. All we have is the record of Scripture. So I don't know if Job paused. I don't know if a moment of time went by. Because, I mean, if you think about it, if you make a statement like, God, you call out to me, and I'll listen, I'll answer. Or, God, if you don't want to do that, I'll speak, and you can answer, okay? So I don't know if he said that and waited. Or if he just said that, there's a period, and then there's a question that follows. I don't know if he just rolled right into his question. I don't know. But you know what? In our lives, I mentioned this last week, and I'll say it again. Maybe the best thing for Job to have done was to just be quiet and wait. Perhaps. Now, if I'm going to ask God a question like, God, you call out to me and I'll answer, or God, I'm going to speak and you can answer me, I think that maybe I would give God a little bit of time to decide which one he wanted to do. Okay, because otherwise it just kind of seems rude in a way, right? To tell God that and then just go ahead and ask the next question. Again, we don't know what the case was, but regardless, the next question comes. So Job decides on number two, right? He decides to go ahead and speak and let God answer. So Job continues to speak. He says to God, how many are mine iniquities and sins? By the way, good question. Right? He's not saying, God, I'm innocent. He's not saying, God, you're punishing me without cause. He just looks up to heaven, and he says, God, how many are my iniquities and my sins? I just would like to know. Because, God, I can't think of any right now. And by the way, that's not audacious, and that's not unfair. I think I used that word right. That's a fun word, audacious. I don't think that's wrong for him to ask that. He says, God, what are my iniquities and my sins? How many are there? And then he says, make me to know my transgression and my sin. Do you understand that we do not know the entire Word of God? I think I've shared this story with you before, but when I was in the military, we were responsible for the entirety of something called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Okay? We were given something called a Blue Jackets Manual. I've got a copy of it in my office. I actually have the copy that I was given in boot camp, which is a paperback copy. And then someone gave me a hardbound copy that was given out earlier in our country's history. So I cherish both of those. And let me just tell you a little secret. I still haven't read the whole thing. But they told us in boot camp, and then, remember, I turned 19 while I was in boot camp. We were in boot camp, and I'm a kid, you know, just a kid. And they tell you all these things, and you're doing all these things in boot camp, and all this stuff. And they tell you that you're supposed to read this thing, and you're supposed to be responsible for it. Do you know what? I was responsible for it, whether or not I ever read it. And if I unknowingly did something against the UCMJ, then I was going to be punished for it regardless. And it was not going to be an excuse, well, I didn't know. Okay? So what all I'm trying to say to you is Job is saying, look, God, maybe there's something I don't know that I've done against you, and maybe it's horrible, but I'm ignorant of it. He says, make me to know my transgressions and my sin. So he's asking legitimate questions. And here's what I want us to take from this. We do not always understand why God is doing something in our lives. And it could be that it's for God's purpose to accomplish something in our lives, like it was for Job here. But just in case we've misstepped somehow, I think it's right for us to have the attitude that I could have done something against God and I could be deserving of this. You see, in our country today, there's an overall victim mentality. You understand what's going on in our world today? Everybody's a victim. And nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions. And even when people do get in trouble for their actions, they blame it on somebody else. Well, it was my upbringing, or it was this thing, or this person did this to me, so I'm this way. And, you know, they just pass the buck. Do you see what Job is not doing here? Job is not passing the buck. He's saying to God, God, look, as far as I know, I am innocent in your presence. I'm right with you as far as I know. And if I'm not, how many are my iniquities? And could you please name my transgressions? Now, Job is not challenging God here. Job is not standing before God and say, God, I'm a perfect and upright man. You tell me what I did wrong, you unfair God, you. You see, you understand that's not his attitude. He really wants to know. Why does Job want to know what his sins are? So he can get them right. So he can know why he's being punished. So he's not complaining about the punishment. And he's not complaining that God's being unfair. He really wants to know so that he can be right with his God. And folks, if we have that attitude in our lives towards authorities and towards our God, we will do well. And it's not wrong to ask what things that we have done. David has written psalms about these things. Here's one here. I don't have time to read all of it. At the end of Psalm 139, David just says this statement. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So once again, we have a Bible example of someone who wants God to search him, who wants God to show him what's wrong in his life. And folks, that's a good way to live. None of us are perfect. And you know what? I have discovered things, even this year, that I have read in the Bible. I've been studying something, and it hits you like a ton of bricks. And it's like, I have been doing this wrong all of my life. You know, at 48 years old, you think I'd know maybe a little more about what God expects and what things God calls right and what things God calls wrong. But can I tell you something? I don't. And I don't know if I'll ever get it all under wraps and under control. I have no idea. Probably not. But you know what? It's not an excuse to say, well, I just didn't know. You know what? When we do find out, and by the way, Job is revealed some things in his life later on that he needs to get right, and I believe he does, I'm sure. But can I tell you something? He's willing. He's willing to open himself up and say, God, I could be wrong about some things. I could be deserving of this punishment. But if I am, I don't know what it is. And would you please tell me? So Job continues and he just says this. He asks a couple questions in verses 25 through the end of the chapter. And these are good questions. He says, wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? So, by the way, would you expect God to speak to his enemies? Probably not. He doesn't have to, right? Would you expect God to withhold his face from his enemies. Yeah, I mean, they don't deserve to see God. They don't deserve to hear from God. So he says, God, because you're not letting me see your face, you're not letting me have fellowship with you, because you're not letting me hear from you, I am feeling like your enemy right now. And God, if you will, you're treating me like an enemy. You're shutting me out. You're distancing yourself from me. And God, why are you doing that? And then he says in verse 25, God, wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? Let me just ask you a question. A leaf that is already separated from the tree and blowing around like that. Do you have to go and grab it and crumble it up into dust? No, it will just dissipate, right? It's a dead leaf. It's going to just dissipate anyways. if you try to pursue dry stubble, anybody ever tried to chase dust? What good is that? So all Job is saying, God, I'm already spent. So why do you continue to pursue against me? Why do you continue to chase after me? He said, God, this just doesn't make any sense. He says in verse 26, for thou writest bitter things against me and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. So here's what Job is saying. He says, God, even now, after all this time, as far as the days of silence that we sat together with my friends, and then these days that we've been having this discourse, and all this time has passed, he says, and all these great things that have been against me, including my friends, and this evil conspiracy that the devil has stirred up against Job, you understand that Job is saying, God, I feel like this, you're continuing to worsen the punishment, but also to the point that I feel like I am paying for the sins of my youth through this. So in other words, it's not going through, this judgment is not coming just because of something recently that I've done, but a culmination of all the things in my whole life that I've done. Now, by the way, does God deal with us like that? I don't think he does. You know, God chastens us as we go along. I don't think he has dealt with me on numerous occasions about things in my life, and I get them right, and what does God do? He forgives us. And then guess what? When I stumble and fall again, God doesn't double down. He doesn't punish me for this time. And then go back, oh hey, you remember that time before? Let me punish you again for that. Does God work that way? God doesn't work that way. So Job is saying, look, he says, I feel like that you're making me possess the iniquities of my youth. You're making me go back and relive the things that I've done against God for my whole existence. Because, by the way, do not forget the magnitude of the punishment, so-called punishment, that Job has experienced. You know, you feel like, I don't know if this is a great example, but if I steal a dollar, yes, I know it's still stealing, okay? But I don't think I should have a life sentence because of stealing a dollar. Okay, that's just doesn't compute in my mind. Okay? Now, obviously, there's a legal system and we have rules and things like that, right? But, for instance, you know, let's say the penalty for stealing a dollar was to serve a day in jail. Okay? So I steal a dollar, I spend a day in jail. Well, if I go and I steal $10, then I should get what? If that's the way it goes, right? But I shouldn't get 11 days. Right? Because I already served the one. So now here I steal again. I should serve the 10. Not 11. It's not 10 plus 1. And if I steal $100, 100 days. We're using my legal system, okay? I don't serve 111 days. Because I've already paid for the 1. I already paid for the 10. Now I've got to pay for the 100. You understand what I'm talking about here? So Job is feeling like, God, I feel like you're these bitter things that you have against me. He says, I feel like you're taking me all the way back to my youth. He says, you're making me possess the iniquities of my youth. By the way, do you suppose Job had already sacrificed and Job had already been forgiven for those things? I believe he has, because God says he was a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. I would assume that he was in fellowship and in right relationship with God at the time of this happening. So those things are already cared for, but Job is now feeling like God is remembering all the sins of his past. That's his sentiment. Let me just give I'll read this and we'll be done. I'll read Psalm 88 to us in just a moment. But what I want to do for us is to give us a warning to be careful. Be careful about your feelings toward God. When he doesn't speak to you and when he doesn't let you know or have the calmness and the peace about something in a circumstance, or when you feel like the pressures and the judgments are for things of the past. Can I tell you something? God is not that kind of God. Now, we know this story. We know that these things are not coming upon Job because of all his culmination of his iniquities from the past. But Job is a human being, just like we are human beings. And I know sometimes it feels that way. That when God is not hearing or is not answering, he's silent, or we feel like God has put things in our lives that are overbearing and seemingly overbearing and seemingly without purpose, and they seem like they're a judgment. And we say, well, God must be judging me for this, 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 and this. We've just got to be careful that we need to know our God, that he doesn't do that. That he doesn't work that way. Now, Job is not the only person that ever felt this way. David also felt this way many times. There are many psalms written about these. I already read to you Psalm 139, part of it. Also Psalm 88. I have Psalm 130. Okay, I have Psalm 38 also. I have Psalm 39 that I can read here, written down. Okay, let's do 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear to my unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. They are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee? Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Okay, that sounds a lot like what Job is saying here. So as we think about that, if Job was put into that position and David was put into that position, so could we. But we've got to remember that our God isn't like that. It may seem like he's like that sometimes to us. But you don't know everything that's going on. And I don't know everything that's going on. So what do we have to lean upon? We have to lean upon the faithfulness of our God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. As Job finishes this chapter, and I have a handy little outline for chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, but we're not going to get there tonight. But let me just say this about what Job says in the end of this chapter here. He says, thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. So he feels like God has tied him up, right? Bound him up. He feels like God is micro-inspecting everything. He says, you're looking narrowly unto all my paths. He says, thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet. Why would somebody put a print on the heels of their feet to see where they're going? You know, if you put a print on there, every time you walk, it's going to make a mark on the floor and you're going to see where they're traveling. He's like, God, you got your eyes on me. You're focused in with your binoculars and you're trying to, or with a microscope even, you're trying to see it, you know, the little details of my life. He says, in a way, let's use our modern tongue, you're nitpicking things. And then he says in verse 28, talking about God, and he, as a rotten thing, consumeth. So he's comparing God to rottenness. It's consuming his life. And then he's comparing God to a garment that is moth-eaten. And again, a moth will eat at a garment, right, and put holes in it. That's how he feels. So you understand that Job is just simply pleading his case before his God. He's not being disrespectful. He's not being unreasonable. He just wants to know what's going on in his life. And folks, that's not a bad thing necessarily, but be careful that it doesn't discourage you. Be careful that it doesn't sway you from trusting in God. You've got to maintain your confidence in the faithfulness of God Almighty. Because you need to remember the character of God. That he's not going to punish you for past sins. He's not going to double punish you for things. He's not going to go back and examine every little thing. And he's not going to just be so picky. And instead of giving you a day for stealing a dollar, he's going to give you a year. And God, our God, is not going to consume us. Our God is not going to leave us full of holes. But sometimes we may feel like that's what's going on in our lives. And that's exactly where Job is. We've got to be careful not to draw those conclusions ourselves. You know, God gives us examples in the scriptures for our benefit, so that we can see how we should respond to God in our difficult circumstances.